We're going to ask now Will to come and read the scripture. And also, his dad is part of this military family.
Good morning. Today, our scripture comes from Luke 19, 8 through 10. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the word that you give to all of us. And we give you thanks because in many ways you are calling us. You are saying our name. And you're calling us to new great adventures. Allow us to listen. Allow us to go. And allow us to be used in different ways, God, in a way that also we will be a witness to others of your love. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. We are right now in this season of learning more about who we are as United Methodists. And I'm going to tell you something that is happening to me. It's becoming old to see constantly in the news the amount of pain that is going on in different parts of our country and in other places. It broke my heart to hear what happened in Thousand Oaks and this shooting going on. I don't remember a week where we didn't have a shooting somewhere. That's becoming old too quickly. And sometimes it feels like, what can we do about it? And this is going to sound like, no, Lupin, I don't think that's really going to make a difference. But I strongly believe it does. I believe that if we live our lives as strong Christians with a testimony of a strong Christian, we will impact our society. I strongly believe that if whenever I go to the store, whenever I go to school, whenever I teach to my children, where my children can sit with classmates and start sharing about our faith, I believe transformation happens. So the strongest and the most effective thing that we can do to avoid this kind of behavior is to be able to share the gospel of Christ in every place of the society that we can reach out. Amen? My kids gave me really sad news yesterday. Both of them have told me how they have heard from their children, from their classmates, the tension and the pain that some of her classmates and their classmates are having at home. So I'm thinking, if it's not happening, any transformation in the home, how can I expect a transformation in the community? But I believe that when we believe in this and we say, you know, God, you are capable to change me. And trust me, to change this Mexican took a lot, takes a lot of work. I know God can change others. But I believe that when we all commit to say, as a Christian, I want to be a person that is known because of prayer, presence, gifts, service, and witness, I believe we can change the community. And I'm not thinking I'm being naive. I believe that God will empower us to do that difference. Amen? So that's why we are right now connecting and really emphasizing this, that in our specific place, we call it the give me five rules. Give me five, everybody. All right. So we learn about prayer. And we have been praying for our country, and I want you to learn to pray until you learn what's the meaning of prayer. Sometimes prayer, people take it as the last resource. This is not the last resource in this congregation. If any of you hear that as the last resource, bring me that person so I'll give a chanclazo to the person. Because prayer is our first resource. It connects me with God. It reminds me his power. It also allows me to change. It helps me to know, okay, God, I'm not listening well. Now I need to listen to you so my heart change. Prayer is not about changing God's heart. Prayer is about tuning my heart to God's so I know where his perfect will it is. So we have prayers. Then we have presence. The ministries of being with each other. The fact that you are here today, it puts you already in a good spot on presence. So give me five for that one too. Right. and being intentional in saying, God, I'm going to make an effort. I'm so glad you are here, and I know it's cold today, and I know you could have stayed home watching movies with Coco, and you decided to come here. I'm proud of you. Then you can go home and watch and drink Coco at the end of the service if you want. But right now, this presence in different ministries makes an impact. The other thing is we also share gifts. Gifts of the different things that God has given us. We learn that the reason why we give is not just to provide for ministry. That's a very important thing, especially in a congregation like ours, where a lot of what we give is precisely to be able to empower ministries. But gifts, the reason we give is also because it builds my own character. It helps me to remember that everything that I have, everything that I am, comes from where? From God. Who gave you the job that you have? Who gives you the health so you can work? Who gives you the opportunity to remember and to have wisdom to do your job? God. So we need to remember that. And today we're learning about service. And here is our service here. All right. Service. This is a great part of the ministry, and one of the best persons who explain how to do service is actually John Wesley. I love this one of his statements, and this is one of the best known. And he says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. And I could finish the sermon here if I wanted, but I don't want to. Because this is saying everything in it. It is true. It is just about telling you, you always, every second of your life, you have the opportunity to serve, do it. That's what he's telling us. And this is coming also from the Old Testament. As we have seen with different offerings, there is one specific offering that is training us to serve. And training us to think beyond just to say, I'm going to make my reconnection with God, is that the reconnection that I have with God also needs to make an impact in my reconnection with the society. And one of those is the Asham offering, or also called the guilt offering. There are several offerings in here, as we have been learning. We have learned about the guilt offering, we learn about the peace and the grain offering, but this one specifically also is called the trespass offering. And it had two different aspects. One of them is when the person was aware that committed something wrong. In some cases, it wasn't voluntarily. Sometimes it was by mistake. They needed to present an offering to the priests. And the priest will burn part of that offering in the altar. Another part will be for the priests. That's one aspect. That's the aspect of reconnecting that person with God. But there is another aspect in this case. And it is the fact that while they were doing something and they hurt a person or they hurt a situation of a person, there was a need of something called restitution. We find this. This is the part of where they are giving to the altar. But it also says, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving a neighbor, when they sin in any of these ways and realize their guilt, they must make, I love that word, what it says, restitution in full, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it all to the owner on the day they present their guilt offering. There is a desire of saying, let's put this back in the right place. Many people call this the guilt offering, but another name is precisely that, restitution offering. This concept of restitution is something that we also carry in the New Testament. And that's precisely the story that we heard today with Wanda about Zacchaeus, right? And we all, how many of you knew that song? I even knew that song in Spanish, and I'm not singing it to you because I love you. But Zacchaeus was a little man. The fact that he's little is nothing wrong with that. Amen? Jim Burgess, you know that? You know, so he was a little man. And we heard that he wanted to learn more about Jesus, right? We all know that story, and we just heard it through the children. So he's trying to look in and see Jesus, but he can't reach it because he is short. And he's like trying to go there. I have been in that situation so many times in my life, if I can tell you. But then he was wise too in the midst of everything, and he gets into this sycamore tree because he wants to see Jesus and just know more about him. But then there is a part that I absolutely love about the story, and that's the transformation when what happens. Jesus looks at him. I just wonder sometimes what was the people around thinking when Jesus looked at him. I'm sure that more than one thought, I'm so glad that Jesus is looking to Zacchaeus, because for sure right now he's going to take a stone and just stomp at that guy and take him down from the tree because he's so mean. I can see many people thinking in that. But Jesus did something totally different. What did he say? You know? Now, Nate did it with a lot of emphasis, like, Zacchaeus, come down off the tree. And I respect his interpretation in that theological aspect. I think it's a little bit different. In my opinion, I see Jesus most going like, hey, Zacchaeus, let's have some breakfast tacos, man. You know? Can you come down? I believe we can have a good talk. Something like that, don't you think? And that's Texas interpretation of the Bible. You know, so he comes down and just think about it. He just wanted to see Jesus. That was all what he wanted. And now he's having him for breakfast. I believe that was for him the biggest present in his life. But then what happens in this part of the story is what is really powerful. You see, after, we don't know the conversation. The Bible doesn't speak to us or says anything about what they spoke about it, what they talk about it. But what we know is they spend time together. And after that, this is what I want us to focus. What happened after Zacchaeus spent time with Jesus? And there are two things that happen. The first one, it says, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back how many times? Four times. According to what we see in the offering, how many times he needed just to pay? One time with a fifth. He's paying four times more. But anybody, if I have done anything wrong. So what he's doing in that moment, he's doing restitution. He's actually doing specifically that aspect that he learned somewhere, that if I hurt somebody, I'm going to pay back. So that's one aspect of what he's sharing in there. But then there is a second aspect in there. And it says, here and now, I give how much? Half of my possessions to the poor. That's something different. That has nothing to do with restitution. That has to do with something different. What it happens is that comes from this specific statement. When it says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. When that happened, Zacchaeus was empowered to do beyond what was expected by the law. At that point, Zacchaeus became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got it. He got that by having the life through Christ, his life had a different sense of value system and a way he wanted to do an impact. I just want you to think how this Christian was able to transform an entire community. He was able to come, just think about those poor who were right now going through that moment when you're praying, saying, am I going to make it for tomorrow? Are we going to have bread for tomorrow? Are we going to pay the bill for tomorrow? And here you have Zacchaeus giving this money and just saving that moment for that community. Do you understand the impact that he did in that community? And when people ask, how in the world all of this happened, what was the answer? Zacchaeus encounter Jesus, and this happened. So it was a clear testimony that I strongly believe that that kind of testimonies are the ones that are going to bring hope to our society today. When we come outside and we say, you know, the reason why my life is changing is not because I'm a great person, it's because that Lord Jesus Christ also looked at me, and while I deserve to be stoned, or I'll deserve to be shout all my mistakes and sins. What he did is he looked at me and called me by name. And he said, you, let's have a time together. And the only reason, the only way my life has changed is because in a moment of humbleness, we say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you in my story. I need you to transform who I am. And when you let that Jesus come and take your life and story, your life is not the same anymore, right? But when you go around the community and you tell them, to the people who are right now suffering, to the children that won't see their parents again because they have been shooted somewhere, to those who are suffering right now, we can say, you know, this life can be really, really difficult. A lot of darkness, but there is light in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that because I'm experiencing that. That's the story we need to tell. That's the hope that we can bring. And that's, now, I also want you to see, this is a restitution that comes when you have that relationship with Christ. It's a confessing your faith by your actions. That's why there is a connection between having that experience with Christ with how the society looks at you. It must make a difference. If you have become a Christian, it must be known by society, not because you have a beautiful t-shirt that has a Bible scripture in it. That's not going to make the difference. It is about, are you behaving different? Now, that doesn't mean perfect either, but it means that when you do a mistake, you can say what? I am sorry. I did a mistake. You know, I kind of really lost it on this one. But I'm coming back to Christ. That's what makes the difference. I also want you to see, here we have Zacchaeus serving in two different ways. We can find people who are very good about service, but there is a difference between the ones who are serving just because of people who have good moral and when you are spiritually serving. You see, if you are a person driven in service, you could be positive for the community. For example, when you say, all these people help giving food to the poor and they just do that because they want to be nice. Yeah, that is a positive impact. However, when you are spirit driven, it's positive for the community in a kingdom of God level. It's different. Does it make sense? So when you go and help as a Christian, you are thinking not just to solve the fact that you're hungry right now. You have an extra agenda, clear agenda, not hidden at all, where you say, I am doing this because, yes, I want you to be fed, but what's important for me to know is that your life has a value in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am serving you because I also want you to know that we care for you. We care for your spirit. We care for your health. We care for your life eternal. That's why we are doing this. So you listen the whole thing. It's a different way. We also know that it's human empowered when it's person driven, but when we are doing it through the Holy Spirit, it's a spirit empowered, and it goes farther than we imagine. It's when you say, we were just planning this Kairos ministry, and then good God took over, right? Pop, and then what happens? Whoa, it explodes. It goes to places you don't expect because it's spirit driven. Then in the person driven, it's limited to a personal satisfaction. Why does people want to help and serve? Because they want to feel good. How many times we see in the pictures in the news of that person giving this little bag of rice to the poor and takes 3,000 pictures because they want to look nice? I mean, being honest. You know, I have told you before, I have been the victim of the other side, the receiver, where I have had people come into my house because they want to feel good. And they came to me because I was the poor in the neighborhood. And they went and gave me food, and they were making me feel very clearly that I was the poor, receiving from the rich. And I want to tell you, I still remember as a child, and I need to forgive them, that they had a good intention, but they were really intentionally in showing me they were the rich coming to help the poor in that level. And that's not how God is calling us to help. In the case of the spiritual aspect, it's more about a result of a relationship with God. If you are going to help, it's because you know that you can contain in yourself the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you, and you just need to share it in every way you can. And because you know God is calling you to make an impact in the community through your behavior. Amen? And also, the problem is in the person-driven, when we give and we are not focused with God, it could perpetuate bad behavior. We can create paternalism in what we give. We can create people who are really not functioning in receiving and giving in a way that is transformational. When it is spirit-driven, will bring transformation. The lives of both people will change, the giver and the receiver, because it's through the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of giving that God is calling us to do and service that God is calling us to do. Let me give you an example that has been really touching my heart. And also, how is it that as Methodists we value that? As we all know, in the Methodist Church, we believe in the means of grace. And we have them in two ways. And I'm not going to give you all these words. But one of them is that we do works of mercy. We are called that part of our Christian growth is that we get involved in serving. Through that, we grow in our faith. Through your service, you grow in our faith. If we do not serve, we do not grow to our fullness. It's part of that growing, acts of justice and acts of compassion. But we do that as part of that growth. Also, John Wesley says that to us very clearly. He says, one of the principal rules of religion is to lose no occasion of what? Of serving God. See? But look, and since he's invisible to our eyes, we are to serve him in our neighbor, which he receives us as if done to himself in person, standing visibly before us. This is why and how we serve. We serve because we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador of Christ. So whenever a person asks us, why are you doing this? That's why we can get credit of it. We say, we're just representing God. The only thing is he needed a body with flesh and bones. In my case, a 5'2 body. In the case of Jim, a 6-something body. But we are bodies that are coming to serve and show others the love of Christ. That's why we do this. And that's what makes transformation. This weekend, on Monday, I had the opportunity to go to the ministry center. And I heard this story that touched my heart. Long ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we started giving English as a second language in Steuben Ranch Elementary School. And there is a student, the one that you can see her hair, beautiful hair in there. And she started coming there to classes. After a while being there, then she learned that we have Project Transformation. And she took her child to Project Transformation. As you can see, her hair is here. The little boy is covered by her hair, actually. So this boy started coming to Project Transformation, and actually he's growing in his classes and doing better. And this lady is starting to learn how her life is changing because learning English and her son has been changing. But then they really start loving the church. They start knowing the ministry center, and they are coming on regular basis to our ministry center, and they sit there. And it takes them a while because sometimes they need to come in the bus, but they are faithfully coming. Well, I learned on Monday that she's sitting there with her other teacher. That, by the way, the teacher over there, she told me, I want to have surgery so I can move better and serve in the ministry center. That's what she said. But then the student is there again. She says, I like the classes here at night because it gives me more time to do things in the morning. But she announced in this class, in English, she raised her hand and said, during the times of gratitudes and testimony, she says, I want to give thanks because for the first time in my life, I found a job in the United States for me. And I'm able to do it because now I can speak English. That moved my heart. But what moved it even better is when the teacher came and told me later, but you know what she told me? That the second reason why she wants to learn English is because she wants to serve back at the ministry center. So when I heard that, I heard that lady is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are looking for. We are looking to serve so we grow. But while I am growing, I'm serving others who will grow in their faith. And all of this happens, all of this starts in one place. And it's in the place when Jesus looks at you, calls you by name, and you answer yes. So what's your answer today? Can we answer and say, God, first I need that time with you. Before I'm capable to serve anyone, I just need that time with you. And God will give you that time. But after that, can you say yes? Can you be one disciple of Christ, willing to make other disciples just by walking together in our faith? Will you? Amen. Let's stand up and just accept that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking at us and inviting us to serve together.
Because I may be weak. Because I may be weak, but your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. 'Cause I may be weak, your spirit strong in me. Give me faith. Give me faith to trust you, Savior.